So recently, I've told you guys about a breakthrough new anti-aging remedy that I've been using that keeps me energized all day long. I just take a teaspoonful of C60 Evo olive oil in the morning, and I notice better mental focus, flexibility, and physical endurance. Now, it's rare to feel improvements this quickly. I also end up sleeping deeper at night, so it's really helpful. Their peptide and ESS60 hair and lotion renewal formulas are exceptional because they really work. And C60 Evo's lab has been manufacturing this Nobel Prize-winning miracle molecule for 32 years in their Houston, Texas, Patriot-owned lab. ESS60 is the upgraded version of the carbon-60 molecule. It's specifically made for both people and pets. It's a potent and effective way for people's lives to be improved all around the world. So maximize your health and enjoy noticeable results with C60 Evo organic edible oils, skin serums, and pet products. You can buy with confidence from C60 Evo, and you can use my personal code for a discount at checkout. Simply go to c60evo.com/redpill78. And then when you're there, use code redpill78 for an additional 10% off your entire order. Once again, that's c60evo.com/redpill78. And when you support my sponsors, you support this channel. All right, guys. Hello. Welcome back. I don't know what the heck was going on with my soundboard. It's a bit of a nightmare trying to figure it out. Obviously, I'm not going to be able to get it totally sorted while I'm on the air because obviously I'm just going to take too much time doing that. So thank you very much for everyone letting me know that there was an echo. Clearly, there's not supposed to be. I don't know. Everything's different now. I'm having a rough go of it lately, guys, and I don't know what the heck the problem is. But regardless of that, also had an awesome show yesterday. Hopefully, you got a chance to catch my interview with General Michael Flynn. Hopefully, you're also going to be able to join us at the premiere of the film, which is going to be next Friday, well, I guess Friday, April 5th in Venice, Florida, and then Saturday, April 6th in Winter Haven, Florida. I'm going to be at the Friday event, and that one is almost sold out. The Saturday event still has tickets available. You can also pre-order the DVD, which General Flynn told us yesterday has a bunch of deleted scenes and more background information. So I'm going to go ahead and pass out the link to that right now. When you purchase anything from here, you will support the show in just a small way. So thank you very much in advance if you do. Hopefully I'll get to see you there at Venice. And if not, well, then hopefully we'll see each other at another event in the very near future. Obviously, we've got this is going to be the third, fourth, fifth one coming up in Dallas here real soon. So maybe I'll see you guys there as well. All right. So one more thing before we get started. I think a couple of people said that the thumbnail was perfect. That right there is some covert pictures taken of Sean Puffy Combs hiding in the jungles in a faraway land, looking over his shoulder, waiting for the next shoe to drop. When are the feds going to show up and get him? Well, maybe we'll have a little bit of insight into that. But first, I want to begin with a discussion about one of our favorite subjects here, and that is election integrity. Now, there is one consistent takeaway that we can bring from the last 4 years, the last several elections. It's that there is a universal problem with the voter rolls, whether it's dead voters, phantom voters, voters that are identified multiple times with different disambiguations of their names or other personal information. Clearly, there are a lot of people on these voter rolls that should not be on these voter rolls. And the problem that we have identified and that I believe that the RNC is beginning to chip away at is the cleaning up of those voter rolls, because the secretaries of states and the various clerks at these local levels in places like Michigan and Georgia and Wisconsin and Pennsylvania, Nevada, you can name a swing state and you're going to find the exact same problems. So this is why it's so vitally important that we, the people, demand that we clean up these voter rolls. And as a result of our knowledge regarding this problem, it's only fitting that somebody should take a look at it very closely to determine just how bad the problem is, because we can talk about it till we're blue in the face. But unless somebody can identify exactly what's wrong, then it's doubtful that we're going to get the sort of movement that we're hoping for. So we have a company which is called Omega for America. We've talked about them before. They are an election integrity organization, and they took a look at the voter rolls in 26 states. They used a special algorithmic method to apply a series of analysis across the entire state, all of the voters for the entire state. They compared that voter roll from 2 years ago with the one they just got yesterday, so they could see if it has changed, if it's gotten any better, if it's gotten any worse. And unfortunately, per their words, very little has changed. Trisha says, I bought meet and greet tickets to the Grapevine, Texas event. Awesome, awesome, awesome. I'll be looking forward to seeing you there. Dawn's breaking. Thank you very much. I'm glad you and your husband are enjoying the show. Hope everybody is enjoying the show. So we've only got less than 230 days before the 2024 election. That is precious little time, but it is time that we can work with. And as we have spoken about numerous times on the show before, the RNC has numerous challenges to these fraudulent voter rolls in virtually all of the swing states, and in many, many places across America. Some people are saying this is the most election, this is the most important election in history, and I would have to say I agree with them. America is teetering on the brink, the precipice, if you will, looking over the edge, that cliff into the bottom of a rocky ravine, certain destruction for our beautiful republic. Any rational person would take a look at these voter rolls and find it difficult to believe that there is a totally organic phenomenon taking place. Why do phantom voters exist? Why are they allowed to remain on the voter rolls? Why do they seem to be so prevalent in these swing states, which are also run by leftists and have mostly communist or socialist secretaries of states? And of course, the courts are all packed with radical, rabid leftists as well. So I think that a normal person looks at this problem and they can rationally say, clearly it is a manufactured issue. And if it was done on purpose, it can be unwound on purpose. Many people are looking at this now in a way that was very different. You know, you ask the average person out there on the street, and a lot more people are going to tell you that, you know, something happened in the 2020 election. Something happened again in the 2022 midterms, and something is likely to happen again in 2024 unless drastic action is taken. The steel is on, and these leftist commie secretaries of states and all of the corrupt bureaucrats in every state across America is hoping that you don't notice what they're doing, that you are going to look the other way, and they're going to be able to just jack up these voter rolls and insert as many fraudulent ballots as possible. Think back to the conversation we had with Mr. Paquette. I believe it was Andy Paquette, and his work in the state of New York. They have not only phantom voters, but they have voters that are literally hidden until such a point where they can be essentially unmasked, and then they can be entered into the system, and then those votes can be used to steal elections all across the state. And a stolen election means that we, the people, are not able to choose our own representation. If we are not choosing our own representation, then that means someone else is stealing the power and the right to govern this land, even though they don't actually have that right. They have stolen it, and they have the pretension of some sort of moral high ground. They like to parade around and tell you that, well, you know, the people have spoken. That means that we're going to be able to do just whatever we want to do. But it's not only determining how many voters are on the voter rolls. And I didn't even say this at the beginning, but we're talking about a fairly large number. 7 to 18% of all registered voters in these 26 states that Omega for America looked at either do not exist or they reside at an address that doesn't exist. So you think about a people who are registered, if they are not a real person, that means a real person registered them in an illegal way, and that person has committed some sort of fraudulent act, certainly a crime. if a real person is registering to vote in any name and they claim to live at an address which doesn't have a home or is a shopping mall or a UPS box or something like that, that is also a crime. And so then you look at the secretaries of states and you say, hey, why are you not processing these crimes? Why are you not prosecuting the guilty? And again, I go back to my statement at the beginning, because they love it. They love that these elections are dirty. They love that the voter rolls are totally, totally compromised. And the people of these states need to step up and say something. They have to stop the election fraud. And in order to do that, I truly believe this is that keystone to do so. So they have to track, they have to identify, they have to trace every single illegally funded non-governmental organization that are funneling this money into these states and making it possible for these leftist candidates to get elected, making it possible for these fake voters to be registered, making it possible for people without IDs or people without homes to get a ballot and pretend that they are someone who they say they aren't. So removing phantom voters from the voter rolls is probably the most important thing, because let's probably be honest here. I don't think mail-in voting is going to go anywhere. They're going to continue to send out mail-in ballots if it's already been started. But a person who doesn't exist, that is something that can be proven. That's something that can be shown. And I believe that this is exactly what the RNC is working on right now. Now, Wisconsin, they've done a pretty good job, better than anybody else that I've heard, in working to get rid of these phantom voters, working to clean up the voter rolls. But it's not just the phantoms. It's also, as I said, the interference from the non-governmental organizations, and then, of course, all of the money that gets poured into elections. Phantom voters, however, are the easiest thing to prove and the easiest thing to get rid of. So they said 7 to 18% of all registered voters in 26 states, they don't exist. They reside at an address that doesn't exist, or they live at a real address, but it's going to be like a gas station, a convenience store, maybe a restaurant. So these are addresses without bedrooms. There is no place to live. The phantoms, as identified by Omega for America, were actually chased down and identified because they were looking at them for 36 months, trying to figure out who they were. However, they still remain on voter rolls, even though many of them have been identified as people who are just simply not real. Sovereign voter fraud is very real, and this is how they're doing it. So the same team had looked at the election voter rolls in Arizona, where Carrie Lake showed over 22,000 new voters had been added just a couple of days before the election. That was in one Arizona county. However, Carrie Lake didn't know about this. Her campaign was relying on information coming from the RNC, and the RNC at that time was not supporting America First candidates like Carrie Lake. Sean Joe, thank you very much for the cookie. There we go. Yes, knock my socks off. How can you fix a problem if you can't identify it? How are people going to demand change unless they're shown that it must? So it's interesting to know that those 22,000 voters were added in one county, and then they show Carrie Lake losing by $17,000 votes. But in every swing state here in 2024, we've had citizens who have been downloading the voter rolls every single day so that they can, in real time, see exactly how many voters are being added. And this is the same company that has that quantum time series analysis program. They looked at county changes and the zip codes of 33,000 people in a single Arizona county. And as a result of their identifications, they can see exactly where these voters are being added, and they can also track the addresses that they're being added to. So I believe that this information can be highly useful to legislators and, of course, to legal challenges that are ongoing right now. the amount of press that this group is getting, I have to believe that there must be some level of communication with the RNC. And the RNC clearly now has a new mandate to push for the cleaning of these voter rolls and get all of those excess voters off of there. So I think that's a good sign, and it's something that gives me a lot of hope about the election coming up. But that doesn't mean that any single one of us should leave it in the hands of someone else. This is a fight worth fighting. This is something that we should all be loud about. This is something that we should all be very, very resolute on. You got to stand your ground on this one particular issue, because every single one of those phantom voters negates the vote of one of us, because, you know, they're not voting for the candidates that we're voting for. They're not voting America first. They're voting against America first. So continue to fight and keep this at the front of your mind. Thank you again, Sean Joe. Appreciate it. All right. Now, there's a new video, a recently uncovered video that's just popped up, and it shows New York Attorney General Letitia James not taking naked pictures in the bathroom of a cruise ship, but instead she's dancing in the street with Senator Chuck Schumer. Allegedly it shows ties to a communist group. So the New York people that are under the thumb of Letitia James right now, wondering who's next, who's she going to come after next, may in fact actually be able to turn the tide on her. Now, I wonder if Senator Chuck Schumer had anything to do with Letitia James's crusade to go after Donald Trump. Do you remember that quote from Chuck Schumer? The intelligence communities have a way of making you pay. They can get you six ways till Sunday, something like that. I don't remember the exact quote, but Chuck Schumer made it very clear that if Donald Trump wanted to tussle with a central intelligence agency, the central intelligence agency was going to have no problem tussling right back. And I do believe that's exactly what's happened. I mean, the CIA is just a single arm of the deep state, but they make up a large core of it. So Letitia James and Chuck Schumer were supporting a pro-communist Working Families Party event in New York. And obviously communism is antithetical to capitalism and to our great republic. In a communist society, you have a different stratification, but you don't have the same sort of natural wealth distribution. They want to take from you so that they can give to somebody else. And of course, communists like to preach that this is going to make everyone equal. It's going to be equitable. Everybody's going to have the same opportunity, and everybody's going to get the exact same amount. No more, no less. Except for the people who are up at the top, like, I don't know, Chuck Schumer. So this recent video shows Letitia James, Peekaboo Letitia Peekaboo James, and Chuck Schumer in the streets, dancing, and just having a grand old time. Let me go ahead and show it to you right here. Here's a still from it right there. And of course, they are with the Working Families Party. Let's go ahead and actually watch this. That echo is still a problem. I just saw that, that is so annoying. That is so annoying. Hang on just a second. Let me see. I think I might have an idea on how to fix it. Testing, testing. Okay, and then that one right there. That would be Roadcaster 2. Okay, so the desktop has got to be... Oh, wow. That's not normal. Stop audio. RP mic. Okay, testing, testing. Let me just try this again and see if it does the same thing. Yes, it's doing the same thing. No echo. You guys are not getting an echo? It was showing that there should have been an echo. Oh my god. Ugh. Why is that happening? Okay, testing, 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 testing. Let me try this. Yeah. I don't know what the heck is the problem. I am so frustrated right now. Okay.
All right. Well, it's definitely not in my head. I mean, I'm not hearing an echo. I don't hear an echo when there is an echo. You guys are the only ones who hear an echo. What I can see is that my audio channels, there should only be one audio channel at a time. So like my microphone is the only one that's on right now. When I play a video, it should only be coming through the desktop audio channel. Instead, it's showing as going through both my microphone and the desktop audio, which should be giving you guys an echo. But anyways, I guess if you don't hear an echo, then that helps. However, it means that I can't predict when you're going to hear an echo or when you're not. So, let's see here. This Communist Party in the state of New York, this is the worst thing that you could have on a statewide scale. Taking a look at their website right here. They have a disambiguation of the hammer and sickle. Communist Party USA, CPUSA.org. And here is a little bit more. We need a labor-led third party in this country is a refrain that a lot of politicians actually are spewing out. The Democrat Party, I think, is skewing closer and closer to communism. And Letitia James is actually engaging in a sort of wealth redistribution right now with her attempts to strip Donald Trump of every penny that he has, make it impossible for him to successfully run for president. And then that money is likely going to be redistributed to the people that Letitia James sees it as appropriate to give it to. Did Fred Durst die? No, he's just doing ads. Okay. All right. Now, this is probably not a surprise to anybody, but it looks like it's been confirmed that Barack Obama was able to successfully implement his puppeteer plan that he had so eloquently said he would love to engage in just a couple of years ago. How if he could just sit in the background and pretend to not be president, but have somebody else out in the front and he's giving all the orders and all of that, well, then he would feel really good about the situation. And we've always thought that this is likely what's been happening. Barack Obama left office. He worked as a shadow president while Donald Trump was in office the first time. And then Joe Biden was placed as this sort of figurehead with Barack Obama in the background with his hand up Joe Biden's ass, moving his mouth as he would like to. Yes, there's definitely no echo now, guys. It's okay. We don't need to keep talking about it. It looks like there should be an echo, and I guess I just have to deal with it. Mm. So Barack Obama, I guess, is often advising Joe Biden. And remember, there was photos of him recently attending an event of some kind at Downing Street in the UK. He was meeting with Rishi Sunak, who is the current British Prime Minister. And that should have not been legal because Barack Obama is not in a position of government. So why is he doing the bidding of a statesman-like category? Well, if he's actually performing in a shadow presidency role just as he was during Donald Trump's first term in office. That would make a lot of sense. According to a report from the New York Times, Donald Trump, Joe Biden often advises Barack Obama often advises Joe Biden, also advises his aides, and he is allegedly very concerned about the return of Donald Trump and whether or not Donald Trump is going to make what many of us feel is likely to be the greatest political comeback in the history of our nation. Certainly, when Donald Trump returns to the office of the presidency, he's going to be in a renewed position of power in a way that I don't think Obama or Biden or Victoria Nuland or Susan Rice or any of these people are ready for in any sense of the word. So Obama has a reason to be nervous, a reason to have this level of anxiety, and the same type of anxiety that it appears all Democrats and liberal talking heads on the mainstream media are kind of coping with right at this very moment. Not only is Donald Trump likely to be Joe Biden in November, Donald Trump has had a meteoric rise to the top of the polls. And I would argue that he never left the top of the polls. Like, despite what happened on January 6th and in the years after, where they tried to assassinate Donald Trump's character, Donald Trump still remained popular, but he never, like, dropped to a level where people would really consider him as being, you know, someone that they would not want to have in the office of the presidency. Sure, you had a couple of loudmouths. You had a couple of people in the Republican Party who said, oh, you know, I'll never vote for Trump ever again. But then you give him a couple of months of the taste of Joe Biden's brand of democracy in what was once a thriving republic under Donald Trump, and people change their minds rather quickly. And then you have all of these various legal cases that were filed against Donald Trump, thrusting him to the front of the news cycle once again. He's in every single newspaper. He's on every single talking head program. He's on every single news channel. Everyone is talking Donald Trump every single day. They talk about Joe Biden, and it's about how he's failing. They talk about the nation, and it's that it's failing because of Joe Biden. They talk about Donald Trump, and it's how the Biden regime is trying to stop Donald Trump from coming back. Oh my gosh, he's going to return to presidency. He's going to have power again. What do you think he's going to do with that power? He's going to fix all the messes that Joe Biden has created. And he's also going to make the guilty pay. The same guilty parties who tried to set him up in his first term in office. The same guilty parties who have been running the country in a shadow sense while Joe Biden sits and resides at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue. That would be Barack Obama and his group of shadow advisors. So a senior aide to Joe Biden told the New York Times that Obama still supports Biden's reelection hopes, but he has a grave concern that Trump could win reelection and deliver Biden a resounding defeat. Well, that grave concern should really metastasize into a form of absolute certainty, because that is exactly what's going to happen. Donald Trump will return. Donald Trump will clear house at the United States government. And of course, he's going to have himself surrounded with people who have his back. Now, yesterday on the interview with General Flynn, General Flynn had mentioned that he could help President Trump, in a sense, with people. I took that to mean as perhaps some sort of an advisory position, allowing Donald Trump that access to General Flynn's time in office, who is good, who is bad, or not his time in office, but I'm sorry, his time in the federal government, advising Donald Trump on who's a traitor, who needs to go, who likely will stand in President Trump's way this time around. We don't only need General Flynn to do that. I mean, you know about the Heritage Foundation and their Project 2025. We talked about this before. They've been working on this ever since Donald Trump left Washington, D.C., except they're not focusing specifically on those high-level positions. General Flynn is going to go in and clean house at all of these various federal agencies, the intel agencies and the military, et cetera, et cetera. National Security Council, he will know. He'll know who needs to go. And I truly believe that Donald Trump will use him in that capacity. And as I've said before, I think General Flynn would be a natural pick for FBI director. I didn't get a chance to tell him that yesterday, but I've always thought that. I mean, how much poetic justice would it be if he were to come in, take over the FBI, fire all the people who tried to destroy him and his family, and in their place, hire America First, Magadonians. I think that would be great. Now, somebody in my Telegram chat also yesterday said that they weren't sure about General Flynn, that they had heard that somebody said that he was going to run for president against Donald Trump. I never believed that. It came from Lynn Wood's camp. It was always bullshit. And now that we're so close to the election and Donald Trump has captured enough delegates in the primaries to become the nominee, is there anybody out there who still is buying that sad, tired old BS that General Flynn is going to run for president against Donald Trump? If he was ever going to do that, it would have already happened. And he didn't do it. He didn't run for president. He had no desire to run for president. I think that he's going to have a place in Donald Trump's cabinet or in Donald Trump's administration somewhere else. Jim Kyle says all MSM are all paid actors. Yes, they are all paid actors. Yes. Raven Shield, we are going to talk about the Baltimore stuff in just a little bit. And so I find it funny. I find it funny that people are still like caught up in these same tired old narratives. It's like they've heard people who I don't trust and who for whatever reason they trust say the same thing over and over and over again. Oh, General Flynn's a traitor. General Flynn's going to run for president against Donald Trump. You can't trust General Flynn. Okay, how is that any different from those paid actors in the mainstream media? How is it? How is it? I've never heard any of those people suggest that you should go make up your own mind. All I hear them is trying to tear down someone that the deep state wanted to tear down. That's the point I wanted to get across in that interview yesterday, is that there's a reason the deep state went after General Flynn first and foremost before anybody else. And there's a reason there is a slew of paid actors who are masquerading as citizen journalists who are still trying to take down General Flynn today. Do you think those two segments are aligned? Do you think it's possible those two segments are aligned? I mean, exercise a little bit of intellectual honesty here. And even if you don't believe it, admit that it's a possibility, because it is. In fact, it's more than enough of a possibility. Yes, I did get time to vote last week, and then I came back and I did another stream. Thank you, Gump. So I look at it this way. Obama and his Malachian worshiping cabal of satanic ball lovers, they wanted to take down Donald Trump and General Flynn. So now the new people who want to take down General Flynn, do you think they really support Donald Trump? Or do you think they're just playing a role? Maybe they're being paid to take people and turn them down the wrong path. I think it's more than a possibility. Anyways, we'll see. We'll see if I'm right. I think I will be. I'm relatively confident about that. I mean, not to mention that I also know people who are close to President Trump who have told me, on condition of anonymity, that yes, what I'm saying is absolutely true. Donald Trump and General Flynn support each other. Donald Trump is going to need General Flynn when he gets back to Washington, D.C., mark my words. So Obama is still looking at this race as if it's incredibly close, that Donald Trump may overtake Joe Biden. Not that it's a foregone conclusion. Personally, I believe it's a foregone conclusion, but only because the American people are going to support Donald Trump. You know, God puts all of this into motion. Right. And none of it's worth anything unless we take the action, unless we do the heavy lifting, because we're here in the physical world. We're the only ones who are going to walk into that ballot box. We're the only ones who are going to check that Donald Trump box. We're the only people who are going to get out there in the streets and support our president. We're the only people who are going to demand accountability. Accountability is not just going to magically appear. our names are not going to show up on a ballot that we didn't have to cast and make sure that Donald Trump becomes president. Faith without works is dead. So have faith that Donald Trump will return to restore America with the help, the work of the American people. And then when he does, he's going to need other intelligent, forward-thinking, America first, loving, freedom, faith, liberty, the real heartland of America. He's going to need all of us to be there to support him so that we can ensure that when Donald Trump leaves office again in 4 years, we've cleaned out the swamp. We have drained it of every single last pustule, every single last satanic, devil-worshipping, child-raping, baby-killing, evil son of a gun. We got to remove them, and then we need to replace them. Two feathers. Thank you for addressing that, Zach. Never understood why people were saying that. Must have missed class that day. Well, thank you for being here. I'm glad that it helped. Sometimes I think that I don't know what it is, to be quite honest with you. I know there's a lot of voices out there, a lot of people vying for your attention. And there are some people who seem to have figured out algorithmically how to capture that attention and how to make people follow whatever it is they're doing. And, you know, I think that there is clearly a bit of spell casting that's going on with it. There's certainly a amount of ego. And there is definitely a lot of subterfuge and spycraft. You know, I mean, how many times have we said this is an information war? You know, this is fifth dimensional warfare right here. And they're using those tactics on us on a daily basis. And it means that we have to really consider what it is that we're saying. I can't say how many people I had show up in my, like in the chat or in the Telegram yesterday. People I had never seen before, people who were not members of my Telegram group, just coming in and telling, oh, you need to interview this guy, and General Flynn's a traitor, blah, 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 blah. Okay, go back to your hole. Go back to your corner of the internet. Never seen you before, and I'm never going to see you again. The only reason you're here is because somebody told you to go spread lies. Spread lies about someone who, in my opinion, is an American hero. And I it's not just my opinion, to be perfectly honest with you. Clean Canada, Zach, Jonesy girl. I wish I could come up there and clean Canada directly. But I think that when Donald, well, you know, here's the thing. This is all going to happen organically. I didn't even talk about this, but Ireland just got rid of their far left prime minister. They've got a new conservative prime minister in there. Somebody who wants to restore Ireland in the same way that we are working to restore America. You know, Italy, Hungary. I mean, across the continent of Europe, across the continent of North America, it's happening. It's happening all over. We are doing it. And each and every one of your countries are in your own unique fight to expel those same evil people that are in power here. So when Donald Trump returns, he's going to reset that world order. It's no longer going to be the new world order. It's going to be a new world order, but it's going to be a world order made up of patriotic citizens of all nations, people who value their freedom and people who demand the right to live under the beauty and splendor of what God has provided for us. It is possible, but they're working to choke us out all over the place. The EU, all those European nations, they are losing the fight on the climate conditions that they're trying to place, the battles against the farmers. The farmers are winning in every single one of those countries. You know, you got farmers out there in tractors and trucks in the streets, and they're spraying horse and cow manure all over the government buildings and parliament. Oh my God, it's brilliant. It's brilliant. I would love to see that here in America. I wish that we could get just a train of farmers together with big pickup beds full of cow shit and just go dump it on the Capitol steps. I think that would be the coolest thing in the world. Oh, man. Flying Storm, people always used to call me Zack Attack when I was a kid, too. All right, so here's the thing, though. You know, Barack Obama doesn't really like Joe Biden. Joe Biden is a useful idiot for Barack Obama. Think about that. Think about the concept of being a useful idiot. Because when you speak, you are either speaking your own words or you are parroting words that someone else has given you. You want to make sure that when you speak, you are speaking from your heart, from your authentic self, that the things you say are the things you believe. And why do you believe them? Do you believe them because someone told you to believe them? Or do you believe them because you know that it's the truth, because you've done the research? Okay, faith is so vitally important in all of this. But we live, again, in the physical world. And the physical world, there are markers, there is proof. There are things that we can look at. And even sometimes when something is presented as proof, it doesn't even mean that it really is. You can go a level deeper and you can look into it and you can say, wow. Okay. Like one more thing about General Flynn, part of the attacks that they have on him. Why did Trump fire him after 23 days? Well, the deep state went after General Flynn and they essentially made it impossible for him to even join Trump's administration. He hadn't even done the job yet. Like he said yesterday, he basically saved America and Russia from entering into a full-scale conflict because of the Obama regime. And they used that as an excuse to go after him, open a criminal investigation. Now, how is Donald Trump supposed to start his administration if every single person that's working for him is under criminal investigation? And more than that, because of those investigations, they can't even do their jobs. Okay, so General Flynn did what he needed to do to allow Donald Trump to begin the process of draining the swamp. It's not that Donald Trump just said, you know what, I don't trust Flynn. I'm going to fire him right now. It's only been 23 days. I'm going to send a message to everyone. It's not what happened. It's not what happened at all. So again, it will come. You will see. I'm going to show you guys exactly what's happening here, and it will happen starting in November and really kicking off in January. So Barack Obama sees Joe Biden as a useful idiot. He does exactly what he's told to do. And even if he isn't told to do something, Joe is slow. Joe is not a smart man, as Donald Trump has said. Joe Biden is an elderly man with dementia. Now, you can be elderly and your brain can work perfectly fine. You can have the mental acuity that you possessed at the age of 20. Obviously, that's not Joe Biden. Joe Biden is Swiss cheese. He's full of holes. And so whether he realizes it or not, he's doing exactly what Obama wants him to do. He's not his own man. Now, you say that to Joe Biden, I think he would probably get angry. I don't think he even recognizes exactly what's going on. But he knows at a certain level that Barack Obama is somebody that he has to show fealty to. He has to show deference to this man. And if Joe Biden was truly supported by Barack Obama, Obama would be out there campaigning for him. He'd be out there supporting him. Instead, he filmed a video on the internet with him. He's showing up and doing his job in other places around the world. He's sitting in the background and sending his advisors to work for Joe Biden and have those advisors deliver the Obama directives to Joe Biden instead. I mean, think about how much of what we're seeing, the plot to destroy Donald Trump. Does anybody really believe that Joe Biden came up with this stuff? Or is it more likely that Barack Obama and these classic deep state affiliates who never left the federal government are the ones who are running this scene from behind that curtain? I tend to think that's it. Jim Kyle says, I thought Pence screwed General Flynn. You know what? I actually will be asking General Flynn about that on Friday, because I'm going to be with him in person. That's a question that I wanted to ask him and I never got to it yesterday. So I would really be interested to know what General Flynn thinks about that. I think I know, but You know, here's another way to look at it. Either Mike Pence screwed General Flynn over, or for some reason, Mike Pence was told that that's the way it was going to have to go. I don't know. I don't want to put any words in anybody's mouth, because that one I'm truly, you know, the jury's out on it. So Barack Obama in the background is the one really, really running this show to destroy Donald Trump. And for him to see Donald Trump ascending that ladder, capturing the hearts and minds of the American people, there is nothing, nothing that enrages him more than that. And frankly, there's nothing that frightens him more either. Barack Obama is quaking in his boots. The entire deep state is quivering, shaking with anticipation, and not in a good way. Just waiting for Donald Trump to come back and for those gallows to be built outside the Capitol building in Washington, D.C. Because, as you know, what happens to traitors. All right, let us discuss the situation in Baltimore. I had mentioned yesterday there was going to be tremendous financial repercussions as a result of this. Baltimore and this harbor, it's a major port. There is a lot of trade that goes through there. It's one of the largest ports on the eastern seaboard of the United States. And as a result of this bridge collapse, for whatever reason, it's led to drastic economic implications. Specifically, it is the fourth largest port on the East Coast. And as far as tons of cargo that are handled, it is the 17th largest overall in the United States as a whole. So the number of containers and the number of ships that go through there really go to show you just how important ultimately this port is to the economic health of the United States and the economy in a larger sense. It's the 12th largest container port in the United States. And it was the 9th in terms of the number of tons and also the value of the cargo that goes through there. That one is coming from the governor of Maryland. So it was the first in terms of the total volume of automobiles and light trucks, more cars and trucks going through there than any other port. They also serve more heavy farm and construction machinery. They also are number one in importation of sugar, the importation of gypsum, which is used to make drywall. And around the world, about 40 ships, including 34 cargo vessels, currently have Baltimore listed as a destination. And that includes 10 commercial ships with anchors that are already dropped in nearby waters. So that means that immediately all 40 of those ships, the 34 cargo vessels among them, the 10 commercial ships that are parked and waiting to enter that Baltimore harbor, they are immediately affected by the collapse of that bridge. It also happens to be the second largest terminal for the exportation of coal. That port handles around 74 million tons of coal just in the last year alone. So you can say that the collapse of this Baltimore bridge is likely going to shut down coal exports for as many as 6 weeks. And then it's going to block the transport during that time of up to 2.5 million tons of coal. Thank God we're moving into the summer months, because if this was a much colder time, then that could also equate into death, significantly increased energy prices because of the time of the year, but people freezing to death, people unable to get coal. It still may result in factories and production facilities and energy power plants being unable to contain enough fuel so that they can even get this stuff off the ground. So now that the port has been completely shut down in the wake of this disastrous bridge, total collapse, it's probably going to take weeks. It's definitely going to take months before we get that port back to a spot where ships are even going to be able to come in and out. And of course, the bridge itself, I mean, that's likely going to take years, but they may be able to clear out portions of the channel in the meantime, which would allow for certain traffic to go through at certain points. But even if they get that stuff cleared out, you're going to have a lot more ground congestion in the traffic in the area, which is going to be very, very, very bad for the people of Baltimore and anybody who is moving from point A to point B and would otherwise be taking that bridge. Bren84 says, love the show. Thank you so much, Bren. I really appreciate it. Thank you also to Thick Ray, who says, I don't hear much of an echo, Zach, but I'm driving home, so hang in there, buddy. Thank you, thank you, thank you very much. Thank you also to Thick Ray for another cookie. Filter Dog, who says, technical blessings. Thank you, sir. Thank you. Just Ducky says, much love and God bless. And then Filter Dog says, what about the Irish Club and Peekaboo? Peekaboo and the Irish Club. I don't know what you're referring to with the Irish Club. Oh, gosh, I know what you're talking about with the Irish Club. The Irish Club was an organization who was trying to steal essentially like $3 million or something like that. They had a member. So Peekaboo James stepped into the middle of this real estate dispute, and the gentleman that was a member of this club, he had lent them like $3 million, okay, because they couldn't get a traditional mortgage. And so they were making payments. And then basically the people who were running the club, they just stole this guy's money. And at a certain point, they weren't making payments. He said, I want my money. And he went to go foreclose on them. And then Peekaboo James steps in and says, nah, you can't foreclose on this because it wasn't a traditional mortgage. And she basically sided with the Irish Club, who had donated to her campaign, by the way. And she essentially helped them steal this money from this generous benefactor who had been lied to about the value of the building. They told him it was worth far more than it actually was because they claimed to own the air rights above the building. None of that was true. The building was basically falling apart, and the money was stolen by this wealthy New York family who was not so wealthy anymore because they had spent it all on a bunch of dumb stuff. And so Peekaboo James was involved in a real estate transaction where they dramatically inflated the value of the building to get more money and create an actual victim. And they donated to her campaign, and so she stepped in on their behalf. Thank you so much for reminding me of that. Yes, Peekaboo James did exactly what she claimed Donald Trump did, and she helped a man get his millions of dollars stolen by a corrupt organization simply because they had helped her get elected. All right. So, Sean Joe, thank you also for that cookie. Again, even if the channel gets cleared, we're still talking about congestion that would normally be using the bridge to cross that river. And although I say it may take 4 to 5 years to rebuild this bridge, Lord knows how long it's going to take. I mean, we are dealing with an inept and corrupt regime that currently sits in Washington, D.C. A lot of people are concerned about the potential environmental impact that a new large marine construction project might entail. Also, considering the area, we're talking about a lot of bureaucracy, a lot of permits. There's going to have to be all kinds of authorizations. And this is a significant infrastructure project. And then even more than that, Joe Biden said the federal government was going to pay for the entirety of this bridge being rebuilt. And this is going to cost a lot more than it cost when it was initially built some decades ago. This bridge had been under construction, I guess, since 1970. Construction began in earnest in 1972, and then they didn't complete it until 1977. And we had, I guess, a more of a functioning government at that time than we certainly do right now. So you've got some of these cargo shipments that are probably going to get absorbed by other ports on the East Coast. They'll be, if they aren't in Baltimore Harbor yet, they're going to divert to somebody else. But even those new ports are not going to have the capacity to accept all of the cargo that otherwise would have went through Baltimore. And of course, as we saw during the pandemic, even just a small decrease in the number of cargo ships that are allowed to go anywhere, that can cause a significant backup in the waters. And then, you know, think about the environmental impact, not only on the quality of the air, because you're going to have a lot of diesel engines running all the time, but also perhaps on the marine life. It's going to damage them as well. We've got some major die-offs that are happening down here in southern Florida around the Keys. You've got some sort of pollutant that's in the Keys that is causing fish to die and have them like swim on their side. It's kind of scary. And there's also major die-offs of coral reefs that would otherwise be nice and healthy and providing a place for fish and other wildlife to live. You know, this is the kind of environmentalism that I'm worried about. You know, I look at the state of the oceans and just, you know, the loss of life and the biodiversity down there. And those are the things that we should be focusing on. But instead, they're focusing on the freaking sun and the air, the sun, which we need for vitamin D and obviously to soak up and, you know, heal our bodies and stuff like that. All of the plants need sun to survive. All of the animals need the sun to warm up. We got lizards all over the place down here soaking up that solar radiation. Obviously, the sun can provide electricity. But if we're blotting the sun out, then how are solar powers even going to be – how are they going to be powered? How is photosynthesis going to occur in the plants and the trees that breathe carbon dioxide? Glenn says, did you hear butt plug wants to create a harbor control, aka akin to a traffic control? I had not heard that, but that doesn't sound like a bad idea. You know, I mean, if you've got a person or people who are directing traffic in the harbor, I mean, I guess I figured they already had something like that. But this is probably just going to create another like federal agency that's going to be another layer of bureaucracy, which means another layer of people to siphon money out of the pockets of the American people. So this also means that we're probably going to see a shift of traffic that would otherwise go to the East Coast. They may now be forced to go to the West Coast because we're talking about years of delay now. That's inevitably going to raise prices on consumer goods and make it more difficult for you and I to get the things that we need to get. True story, you know, in an effort to save money, Lisa and I have been eating burgers basically every single day. My iron, I just took blood. I just gave my blood the other day. I told you guys that. My iron count is way high. My cholesterol is way high, but it tastes so good and it's so cheap. And I'm hoping that things even out and maybe I can go back to a more balanced diet. But right now you got to do what you got to do. And these shipping companies and of course the corporations that are selling these products, they're going to have to do what they got to do too. So this mass casualty event is going to result in a greater economic pinch on people like you and I. Supply and demand. Economists call this a supply shock, which is going to lead to this resurgence of goods inflation. And we're going to get some, maybe some shortages in the temporary, in the long term, we're going to get higher prices. The rerouting of this shipping is going to mean that, you know, if people, you shop on Amazon, good luck getting free 2-day delivery. So we're looking at a period of deflation in goods, in the last 6 months or so, but we're now going to have to be forced out of that because everything's going to get more expensive. Let me see. Johnny W. only took 48 months to build the Big Mac, and the main span is 5 miles. Where is the Big Mac? So, again, this is in Baltimore. Baltimore is essentially a dying city. They're giving away homes for a dollar. Let me see. So this was, oh, the Mackinac Bridge. This was a long time ago, though. And they had a lot of people working on it, and this was a feat of engineering at the time. When was this built? This was built many, many years. 1957. Yeah, 1957. And clearly we had more intelligent people in government at that time. I don't think Gretchen Whitmer and Dana Nessel and Jocelyn Benson could get this thing built in that span of time as well. Plus, I think that they're probably going to end up arguing for the next several years about what the bridge is going to look like. Watch, they're going to put it out to developers. They're going to get plans. Maybe they're going to even have the people vote on it. But regardless of that, there are so many problems that you're going to see nationwide as a result of this catastrophe. And likely none of them are going to be good. Now, what caused this catastrophe? Well, one thing that investigators are looking at is potentially dirty fuel in these container ships. Let's see, what does that mean? Well, allegedly, the ship that crashed into those pylons may have been contaminated in their fuel tank, and that could have contributed to them losing power twice before they hit that pylon and then brought the bridge down. This is according to a Coast Guard briefing that was viewed by the Wall Street Journal. We saw the Dolly's lights flicker. It was about an hour after the ship began steaming down the Marine Channel out of the Baltimore Inner Harbor. And then the vessel just went dead. There was no steering. There was no power. There was no electronics. One of the engines coughed and then stopped. The smell of burned fuel was everywhere in the engine room, and it went pitch black. This is according to an officer who was on board. And he also added that the vessel didn't have time to drop anchors before they hit the bridge. So just minutes before the crash, officers on the ship issued a mayday call to the Coast Guard. Now, this explains the next story that we're going to be talking about. Jim Kyle says, Zach, aren't they building a canal in Mexico? I don't know about building a canal in Mexico. We'll go ahead and look that up. Let me just take a look. I mean, they may want to if China is going to take over the Panama Canal. Mexico Canal. Interoceanic Corridor of the Isthmus of Tehuantepec. So there are ports down there, maybe, but I don't know. Yes, yes. Interoceanic Corridor. Mexico's Interoceanic Corridor. Now, how soon before that's done? Okay, and where is it actually going to be built? So, it's not done yet. Doesn't even look like they've broken ground, to be honest with you. I'm not seeing anything. Isthmus of Tehuantepec. Here we go. Where is it going to be? Well, it looks like it'll go from the Pacific Ocean to the Gulf of Mexico. I think that would probably be the natural place to do it right there. That seems to be the thinnest landmass. But this is the first time I've heard of it, to be quite honest with you. All right. Thank you, Jim. Appreciate it. Okay, so how could they get contaminated fuel in this thing? I'm not exactly sure, and I don't think they're giving us any sort of indication as to why. Here is a map showing the ship actually leaving the port of Baltimore at 1 a.m. It swings around, and it goes straight down the middle of the Patapsco River, and they had already had electrical issues back here. But of course, it wasn't until right here at this point. You can see, I'm going to zoom in as far as I can zoom in. You can see they're on a straight line. Even on this straight line, they're not quite at the point where they're going straight through the middle of that bridge. They're already a little too close to that pylon. But you can see right here, that is at the point where the smoke starts billowing out, where the power goes out, and where the ship starts careening towards that bridge pylon right there. Why? So there was a press conference that the National Transportation and Safety Board put on after reviewing all of these records. And an investigation is currently underway to see exactly what was happening with the vessel's operations, what the safety logs say. And also, of course, the black box. They do have the black box. Luckily, in this instance, it didn't disintegrate in the midst of the accident, as it has happened on only one occasion, on 9/11. But a few hours after the incident, you had the White House and federal government agencies already ruling out a cyber attack or industrial sabotage, again, before there was even any sort of investigation, before they had the black box, before they had any of these logs or anything like that. So I find that a little suspicious that they want to just rule that stuff out immediately. Now, nobody else seems to want to look into the possibility of a cyber attack. Of course, you know, I think that it's the smartest thing to not rule anything out before you have an actual investigation. And remembering that currently the United States with NATO and Russia are on the brink of a major crisis in the European continent. There is also a crisis currently in the Red Sea. We have the Israeli-Hamas war going on. And we have poor relations with so many different areas around the world. But in a matter of seconds, the Dali and its all-Indian crew that rammed into the bridge were already ruled out as possible saboteurs. So I think that this is just about as stupid as it gets. C. Meadows says low food supply, high demand for millions of extra illegal alien mouths to feed is going to cause more resentment, more crime, more violence, and hopefully more of a desire to change things and to move on to a new way of life. Now, I don't know what this has to do anything, but I guess the captain of the and the crew from this ship were on a trip to Walmart before the ship crashed into the bridge. I don't know what it was they purchased, but the Baltimore Sun was reporting that the apostleship of the sea director, Andrew Middleton, told the press he had taken the Dali captain and crew members to a local Walmart over the weekend. He works as a in a Catholic ministry there, and he helps out the crew members of these various ships because after 9/11, there's a law that states they can't leave the port without somebody who is escorting them to make sure that they're not doing anything untoward. So, as soon as he saw the news that these guys had crashed into the bridge and the bridge came down, I guess he texted them and they said, hey, yeah, everybody's okay. And so don't worry about us. You know, but of course, you should worry about the still six missing construction contractors that were on the bridge at the time this went down. Now, Laura Logan is still claiming that this is, in fact, a cyber attack, that it is, of course, an attack on critical infrastructure, and that I'm certain more information will come out about this as time goes on. There is also the possibility that the federal government is going to say this is not an attack simply to keep people from worrying about it being an attack. And then they're going to do an investigation in the background, and then eventually they're going to say, guess what? We lied. This is really what's happening. I mean, that sounds like the sort of thing they would do as well. So she joins Steve Bannon. And, of course, Steve Bannon is a former U.S. Navy man. And he is also skeptical about what really happened on that day. So Laura said, I have a better question for you. Why are you coming to the mic telling the country that it's not terrorism when your own intelligence agencies are telling you it is? I'd be very interested to see what the inside reports and communications are within those intel communities. I really wish that Laura would be able to tell people exactly who this is. Maybe we'll get a whistleblower telling us the truth about this situation. But this, in my opinion, is more likely than not to be an easy attack on our critical infrastructure. And that's why I wanted to start out by talking about the horrific economic toll that this is going to wreak not only on the Baltimore area, but also on the shipping industry as a whole, on the people of the United States of America. I mean, if you wanted to cripple the United States, this is a very easy way that you'll go about it. Now, many people yesterday said that this is a DEI disaster. And, of course, other Republicans who are paying attention to this, they're also saying that this is as well. This was a Singaporean vessel that was manned by an all-Indian crew. And that seems to be pretty much par for the course. I don't think those Indians were hired by the owners of the Singaporean vessel because they were Indian, and certainly there wasn't a woman that was steering the ship. I mean, it was just some guys. So I don't really think that you can call it a DEI hire, although I do know that there were people from the port of Baltimore that were on the vessel, and they were actually helping these people navigate the channel. Now, we also learned yesterday there was no tugboat. There was no one leading them out. That in and of itself is highly suspicious. Could the fact that those people were not there as they were expected to be, was that a matter of a DEI-type mistake? The people who are calling this a DEI disaster are saying that this is what happens when you have governors who prioritize diversity over the well-being and security of citizens. Is it likely that we're going to learn more about the people working at that port and potentially they were hired to meet some sort of racial or gender quota? If it's the case, then I think we'll find out. But I think that for me, looking at this, it's more likely that this was an organized and orchestrated event that didn't need to have anybody of a particular color or gender or sexual preference at the wheel of the ship. I think that they were able to shut it down and force this in a different way. Now, I had mentioned that the problems with the ship started at 1 a.m. when they first pulled out, and that there was enough of a warning sign in the cockpit or the cabin for the people on that ship to know that there was a problem coming. And so the Maryland police were pre-alerted to divert traffic off of this bridge a minute before it was hit and collapsed. Now, if it wasn't for the fact that we had the actual statements from the people inside the vessel, if it wasn't for the fact that we had these error logs and we could see that there was a problem ahead of time, I would say that that would be very highly suspicious. And I had heard yesterday that the bridge was evacuated before the boat actually hit. Well, I would have at that time said something fishy is going on here. But I can understand how these people were motivated to suggest that they had a problem upcoming, whether or not they were going to actually hit the bridge. I mean, if you're a ship's captain, you know, I think that you probably have enough experience to know when there's a high likelihood that something is going to go bad, especially if you know that you don't have control of that boat and it's careening straight towards that bridge and you're unable to steer it. So the people who died on that bridge were, again, the construction workers who were unable to get off beforehand. And the search for these last six missing construction workers has allegedly been called off. You did have a body that was discovered in the collapse on the 25th and then more on the 26th. Just that one body was found, and no details, as far as I know, have been released about who exactly that person is. So you have five vehicles that are currently submerged in the river, six construction workers who are unaccounted for, and authorities said that the missing construction workers have been deemed a total loss. This is a rather dangerous waterway. Obviously, there's a lot of obstructions in the water because of the bridge collapsing. The water is fairly cold. You've got a lot of other junk in the river and a fast-moving current. So the likelihood that these people are going to be found in the future, that's how it's going to go. Probably they're going to start to decompose. Their bodies are going to rise up. They're probably going to go a little bit further downriver. So very, very sad. Very sad that anybody had to die in this. Emergency services, even though it was announced that that was going to be the last of it, they're still taking one last look, and they don't think that anybody's alive, obviously. They can at least stay on site, and they can see if anything comes to the surface. Maybe they can even work on getting those cars out. But initially, in the wake of the collapse, at the very, very beginning, you know, there was still hope that they were going to be able to find some people. But they don't know where they are, and they don't even know who to notify. So I would suggest that if you live in this area and somebody that you love is missing, like, it may be possible they would be some of the people who are missing. There were eight people that were working at the time in the construction company, and they were, I guess, they were from El Salvador, Guatemala, Honduras, and Mexico. And so far, just that. Those two people have survived. I don't know if those people were here legally or illegally, but, you know, I'm glad that they're alive. The forward motion of that ship was moving faster than the current, so it had to be under power longer than, say. So, you know, it was under power, and, you know, I don't have a boat. So, I from what I understand, like, when you have power and your boat is being pushed along, when the power goes out, the boat doesn't stop. Like, you have a lot of forward momentum because of the weight of the craft. And so if the current is moving and you're already moving faster than the current, even if you lose power, you're going to continue to move, although you're going to begin to slow down. So it was, and from the video yesterday, if you'll remember, you know, they lost power as they were getting closer to it. And then the power came back on, and then the engines revved up because they were trying to stop themselves from going forward. And that's when the boat listed and then went straight. I think that's what it's called. Listed. Isn't that what it means? Like, goes to the side, and then it went straight into the pylon. Either way, there are too many coincidences surrounding this that deem it, from my perspective, something that should be looked at much, much closer. We have to take a break for the second half of the show. We're going to be right back in just a second. Well, bad news. It sounds like the Fed has taken the punch bowl away from the party yet again, because the stock market has been betting on March rate cuts, but not so fast, because all three indexes just got pummeled on the news that rate cuts are off the table. Now, is this why JP Morgan and UBS are calling for a 23% drop in the S&P? Let me tell you something. This is the longest time we've ever had in history between recessions. And right now, that recession indicator is ringing off the hook. It's most severe alarm in that 40-year history. So either you think Bidenomics is working, or you're buying gold. And since we all know Bidenomics isn't working, isn't it time you protected your retirement by getting gold? Right now, you can call the proud Americans of the Patriot Gold Group today and do it before it's too late. All you got to do is mention me, Zach Payne, and this show, Red Pill News, on Red Pill 78, and you will always get the best-in-class service from Patriots protecting Patriots. The Patriot Gold Group has the no-fee-for-life IRA, where your IRA or 401k can be in physical gold and silver, and you might be eligible for the no-fee-for-life IRA on qualifying rollovers. So give them a call today at 888-857-6092 and request your free investor guide today. Patriot Gold Group is a Consumer Affairs top-rated gold IRA dealer for 7 years in a row. Call them today at 888-857-6092. And when you support my sponsors, you support this channel. All right, from a keen-eyed observer on Twitter, they just sent this over to me. The ship that caused the Baltimore Bridge collapse also crashed into a European port in 2016. You can see here, it looks like, is that another bridge that collapsed as a result of this? I'm not exactly sure what the extent of the damage is, but you can see this cargo ship collided not only just a couple of days ago in Baltimore, but back in Antwerp, Belgium in 2016. They're still not exactly clear on what happened back then, but the reporting goes that this was a mistake that was made by the master and pilot that was on board. There were no injuries at that time, but there was some damage to the stern. It doesn't say anything about engine troubles, but wouldn't that just be the way if this engine was known to be faulty? And they sent it out there anyways, trying to save money. That sounds like something that would happen in real life. But at that time, the ship was owned by the Marshall Islands. Now it's owned by Singapore. And it's currently owned by Grace Ocean Port Limited, managed by Synergy Marine Group. And it's been chartered by the shipping giant Maersk. Everybody knows Maersk. And its next stop was Colombo, Sri Lanka. Maersk said it was horrified by the crash. It said the dolly was carrying Maersk cargo, but that none of the staff for Maersk were on board. Well, certainly another mystery that we're just going to have to wait to see how it pans out. Yes, that is Lisa, where your family is from, Antwerp, Belgium. All right, so it looks like Biden has placed a number of drug traffickers on a list of sanctions. But one of them is clearly missing, and that is an associate of Hunter Biden. So this is from a 2021 executive order sanctioning drug traffickers. And one of them, known as the White Wolf, he was a business partner of Hunter Biden and an associate of CEFC Chairman Yi Zhiming. This is coming from a report from the Government Accountability Institute, and it reveals that the Biden regime has excluded this notorious drug kingpin linked to Hunter Biden from the Department of Treasury's fentanyl sanctions list. So these sanctions were created by the Treasury Department back in 2021. It was a response to that executive order I mentioned, calling for a crackdown on international crime groups that have arguably been responsible for this spike in drug-related deaths and fentanyl use here in the United States. You would think that maybe they would sanction China as a whole because that's where all of these precursors and the fentanyl are coming from, but I digress. America has seen 100,000 dead from a drug overdose in recent years, and pretty much all from synthetic opioids like fentanyl. That was just 1 year. 100,000 deaths in 1 year. Now, suspiciously absent from that list is the Taiwanese gangster known as White Wolf. His real name is Chang An Lo, a.k.a. White Wolf. He's already a convicted international drug trafficker. He's a former Triad gang member. He was business partners with Hunter Biden's friend Yi Zhiming, the chairman of CEFC. Now, White Wolf and Yi created a joint petroleum company together in a partnership with another Chinese state-owned entity back in 2021, and also a pro-Beijing unification political party in Taiwan that was founded and run by White Wolf also has ties to Chinese United Front activities, which is also associated with Chairman Yi. Now, in the blockbuster book Blood Money, Why the Powerful Turn a Blind Eye While China Kills Americans by the incredible Peter Schweitzer, he details how Yi and the CEFC showered the Bidens with money back in 2017. C. Meadows, Kyle Serafin spoke to a George Hill, former military, FBI, or both, who had done training at that Maryland port. He estimated more than 90% of the ships have Chinese malware operating in their systems. Well, isn't that illuminating? Well, that would make a lot of sense, and it also would suggest a reason for the Biden regime to immediately say there is no possible way that this could be terrorism. If it was a Chinese malware attack, of course, they're not going to blame China openly. So just a few years before the Biden regime announced this new executive order omitting White Wolf from that sanctions list, White Wolf and his own business partner had funneled over $5 million into the coffers of the Biden crime family. Now, Yi had even gifted Hunter that 3-carat diamond worth over $80,000. It is a bit curious, and it's the kind of thing that you have to ask why when you learn that a known and convicted drug trafficker with ties to the Triad and a number of other Chinese Communist Party affiliated organizations, why would somebody with his criminal profile and known international stature not make it onto this list of individuals? Well, the Treasury Department says individuals listed in the updated sanctions list include any foreign person engaged in drug trafficking activities, regardless of whether they are linked to a specific kingpin or cartel. So by the Treasury Department's own rationale, the White Wolf should be on this list. But Biden's order states that the purpose of the directive is to target groups, networks, and associated individuals who are involved in a broad range of criminal activities. That includes drug trafficking and human trafficking. White Wolf fits this description to a T. He was actually the main culprit behind the shipment of over 300 kilos of heroin into the United States that resulted in one of the biggest drug busts in the history of this nation. We can even look at court documents that reveal White Wolf is the former U.S. leader of the Taiwanese Bamboo Union Gang. He was also a close associate of an infamous Chinese mob boss who ordered the hit of a Taiwanese journalist in Daly City, California. And it might be worth noting that the Bamboo Union is a specializer in human trafficking. They're also big into illegal gambling and then, of course, drug trafficking and most importantly, fentanyl and then fentanyl precursors, which are used to make the synthetic drug. If we look at the book Blood Money once more, Peter Schweitzer describes to a T how White Wolf's gang helped the Mexican Sinaloa cartel become the king of fentanyl. And the Bamboo Gang Union is an active member of a much larger criminal crime syndicate that reportedly helps to proliferate the global shift from heroin to the synthetic opioid known as fentanyl. Poso for Hope says Taiwan has the largest drug manufacturing facilities. Maybe that's why we protect them. Well, that would make a lot of sense, certainly. China creates the precursors. Taiwan creates the drugs. It ships down and up through Mexico and across the southern border. It's a one big happy criminal family. So White Wolf's party, the Chinese Unification Party, is deeply tied to that gang, the Bamboo Union, and they are actively working as a recruitment front for the gang. So members of the Chinese Unification Promotion Party and the Bamboo Union have cooperated in with one another in the planning of and the implementation of violent attacks against pro-democracy groups that are operating and demonstrating in Taiwan. Just last year, White Wolf reportedly invited members of a Japanese Yakuza crime group to meet with his Chinese Unification Promotion Party, as the Yakuza had close ties to the Bamboo Union. Back in 2018, White Wolf's son led a group of Bamboo Union members to Okinawa, Japan, to meet with members of that exact same Yakuza group. Now, once more, given White Wolf's background in fentanyl trafficking and, of course, his ongoing affiliation with the Bamboo Union, you would think that the Biden Treasury Department's failure to sanction him and his affiliates would be widely publicized and widely known. But, of course, not many people are asking the questions about why that would be. Certainly, most of all, the Treasury Department. They're not asking or answering any questions at all. And it's so funny to know that Hunter Biden's business partner, who's a fentanyl drug trafficker, is not being pursued by the U.S. government or being sanctioned or being unable to use his United States dollars to do business across international lines. But Hunter Biden himself is claiming that he has been politically persecuted. That's right, folks. Hunter Biden is on the same level as Donald Trump, apparently. Hunter Biden, if it wasn't for the political motivations of Republicans in Congress, Hunter Biden never would have had any charges filed against him. He would have just been able to go about his merry old way, doing whatever the hell he pleased, and he never would have had to worry about these taxes, $1.4 million in taxes. He wouldn't have to worry about the criminal case with the gun or his crack-addicted ex-girlfriend or even his own drug problems. He could have just continued to be a drug addict, going from trap house to trap house and paying for sex with human trafficking victims. But the president's son is now going to argue, along with his lawyers, that prosecutors are bowing to political pressure and Republican lawmakers and investigating his father and going after Hunter Biden for crimes that he committed, but he shouldn't be prosecuted for. That's going to be his argument. Again, those are 9 charges, which include 3 felonies: allegedly failing to file and pay his taxes, evading an assessment, and filing a fraudulent return. All of them are at the heart of the matter. So Reuters is reporting that Hunter Biden's lawyers are going to be appearing before U.S. District Judge Mark Scarsi in federal court in L.A. to press a number of legal challenges, including the argument that he's been selectively targeted by prosecutors in response to the demands of Republican political lawmakers. He has pled not guilty, even though he admits he didn't pay that $1.4 million in taxes between 2016 and 2019. He did, however, spend millions of dollars on drugs, escorts, exotic cars, and a lot of other big-ticket luxury items. He put that in his book. He told the American people, or at least anybody who was willing to purchase that book and read it, that rather than pay his taxes, he was buying hookers and blow and Lamborghinis. If convicted of those charges, Hunter might face 17 years in prison. I have to say, I hope that Hunter Biden remains in court and continues to fight until Donald Trump comes back to Washington, D.C. in January of next year. Because if Joe Biden is president of the United States, or at very least a resident of 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue, then I just simply do not see any justice coming the way of the Biden crime family. Joe is going to pardon Hunter, and he's going to keep him out of prison if the judge decides to give him any sort of jail time at all. Now, here's something you could have seen coming, and most of you probably did, but the use of the term Bidenomics by the Democrats and Joe Biden himself has not been good for the stature and the respect level of the party or Joe Biden himself. Bidenomics is now synonymous with economic insecurity, with high inflation, with low wages and value, and of course, disastrous circumstances such as the disaster in Palestine, in East Palestine, Ohio, also the bridge collapse in Baltimore. Isn't it funny that Joe Biden came into office saying that he wanted to be the infrastructure guru of the 21st century, and we've had more infrastructure disasters under Joe Biden than at any other time that I can imagine? So the White House and Democrats are now throwing their promotion of Bidenomics out the window. President Joe Biden is no longer going to be touting his economic policies because somebody finally got the idea through his thick, dumb skull. Personally, I want Joe Biden to keep talking about Bidenomics. I want everyone in America to recognize that the economic situation we find ourselves in today is all due to the mismanagement of this nation by one single man and the people who surround him. The term Bidenomics has not been used since January 25th. He actually did use it during an address in North Carolina, but the president has now subbed the term during the State of the Union. He did not bring it up. Congressional Democrats have also not been using the term. They used it 483 times across various addresses and social media posts in July, but now they've only used the term 10 times in March. And it goes to show you that they're starting to get the message. Poso for Hope says, we also got our SIM cards and circuit boards from Taiwan. Yeah, there is a lot of electronics that come out of Taiwan. Because you essentially get the cheaper labor like you do in China, but you have a vassal state of the United States, essentially. So the one good thing for the Democrats, because people aren't talking about Bidenomics, is that economists aren't really talking about it either. I mean, previously, they were making fun of it, and they were deriding Joe Biden and the Democrats for thinking that this is a good thing. Why would you want people to connect these two? The failing state of the U.S. economy and Joe Biden and his policies. Bidenomics. It goes together perfectly. So I think we should continue to use the term Bidenomics. Because Biden's relationship with this branding and his economic policies is a perfect method to show the American people why it is we are feeling the pain that we are, why our bank accounts are smaller, why our checks are smaller, why we're unable to save any money anymore, why we have to really think about what we're buying when we go to the grocery store or how many times we fill up our gas tank every week. The president did not use this term during the month of November, even though the White House at that time were boasting about the economy. And if you go back to June 2023 to November 2023, November 1st, rather, Biden used the term 101 times. And then suddenly, on November 1st, he never used it again. He just stopped using it. He gave an address in November 29th in Colorado, and there were banners all around him. The 15 or so people who were there to hear him speak, all of those banners said Bidenomics on them. But Biden did not bring it up. Even at that time, he knew that it was probably a bad idea. Here you can see him on stage in Pueblo, Colorado. Pueblo, Colorado, they're facing their own problems. Now again, it looks like Republicans are the ones who are using the term Bidenomics. The party haven't used the term less than 400 times since July 2023. Rather, at least 474 times in public statements during March of 2024. I will continue to use Bidenomics as a term. So here is a statement from Democratic Nevada Representative Steve Horsford. With all due respect to the president, to the White House, this is not so much about them as it is about people who are benefiting by the policies that they came out and demanded. We have to do a better job framing this, not so much for one person, for the office of the presidency, but for the people. Well, Representative Horsford, you're failing at that too, because the president and his inner circle and their economic policies are represented by that term, Bidenomics. It sums up the pain that the Americans are feeling. I want Trumponomics. All right. I want to go back to a sound money based society. I want our money to actually be a real storage of value. And I want the things that we buy to be valued at a fair rate. And I don't want people to have an inability to support themselves and to support their families. Under Bidenomics, that is the situation we find ourselves in. So Joe Biden was in Raleigh, North Carolina yesterday. Again, a crowd of a couple of dozen people participating in a campaign rally. Kamala Harris joined him. They were at the Chavis Community Center in Raleigh. I'm not familiar with it, but I'm sure it's beautiful. Joe Biden, of course, was in rare form. He was slurring his words. He was mumbling about health care and the deficit. He did not mention Bidenomics. But let's go ahead and listen to his usage of words here. I'm sorry, I'm starting to feel like Joe Biden.
Allow them to deny coverage. Everybody deserves health care. Be patient with them. They have a point. We need to get a lot more care into the Gaza.
Why are we worrying about getting health care into Gaza? Why aren't we worrying about taking care of the people in our own country?
Folks, if America sends me a Congress that are Democrats.
If America sends me a Congress that are Democrats.
Thank you, everybody.
Every time I'd walk out of my grandfather's house up in Scranton, he yelled, "Joey, keep the faith." My grandmother yelled, "No, Joey, spread it. Let's go spread the faith, guys." Thank you.
God, you can tell from the sound of the claps and the yells of the 15, maybe 20 people that are there. This is a very small venue. Let me just do this. I'm actually going to, we're going to look up the Chavis Community Center in Raleigh. Let's take a look and let's just see what kind of a capacity that has. And then I want you to imagine if Donald Trump was to do an event in a place like this. Okay. Chavis Community Center. All right. Well, I mean, it's about the size of a public library. Oh, no, he was in the dance room. This is where Joe Biden was holding his rally. It's essentially a gym. That's what it is. He was basically in a local gym. And there couldn't have been more than a couple of dozen people there.
Spread the faith.
Anyways, Joe Biden is not faring very well. Every single day, it seems that he gets just a little bit worse. Things become a little bit more difficult for him. Pretty soon he's not even going to be able to put on his own shoes, if he does. Joe Biden is also famously bad at storytelling. He lies perpetually. He will tell the same tired old lies over and over and over again. Things that could not exist in reality. And so it was only a matter of time before people started challenging those that serve Joe Biden. I mean, look yourself in the mirror and ask yourself a question. Could you live with yourself if you worked for Joe Biden? Could you even look at yourself in the mirror if you knew that you worked for Joe Biden? I don't think I could. But Karine Jean-Pierre, she is the definition of a yes man. She is simply there to clean up Joe Biden's poop, okay, to wipe his butt when it's necessary. And because Joe Biden was in North Carolina, Karine Jean-Pierre was doing an interview on the radio at 99.3 WBT with local DJ Mark Garrison. She called in to promote the event that Joe Biden was having at that quaint little venue, the Chavis Community Center. And when she called in, she was asked about Joe Biden's failing mental health. In fact, she was directly charged, or excuse me, she was directly asked about Joe Biden having dementia. Let's take a listen.
When I told a number of people that I was talking to you today, it was interesting, though. They all said, would you please just ask her, does the president have dementia? And so before I move on from that, does he?
Mark, I can't even believe you're asking me this question. That is a credibly offensive question to ask.
But you know people ask it.
You're taking us down this rabbit hole. Let me be very clear about this. For the past several years, the president's physician has laid out in a comprehensive way the president's health. This is a president, if you watch him every day, if you really pay attention to his record and what he has done, you will see exactly how focused he's been on the American people, how historic his actions have been. And so I'm not even going to truly...
If you pay attention to Joe Biden, you can see how focused he's been on the American people. Well, let's pay attention. Joe Biden has spent nearly half the duration of his time in office on vacation, either at his private Delaware beach, maybe in Lake Havasu, maybe in the Catskills, maybe at Camp David. But we're paying attention, Karine Jean-Pierre. And we all see that Joe Biden is not very focused on the American people. Joe Biden is focused on rest and relaxation because that's what you should be doing when you're elderly and infirmed and a dementia patient.
Take the premise of your question. I think it is incredibly insulting, and so we can move on to the next question.
Gas prices and grocery prices, then, big topics here in North Carolina. How does Mr. Biden win votes when people don't have as much disposable income?
Boom.
The president understands. He grew up in a middle class family, a working class family in Scranton, Pennsylvania. He gets it. He understands how difficult it is for Americans who are sitting around their kitchen table every month trying to figure out what they're going to pay for. You have to remember when the president walked into this administration, there were multiple crises happening. There was COVID. There was the economy was in a tailspin because of the last administration, because of what the President Trump left us with. Now you're asking me about gas prices. The president took action on gas prices. Let's not forget.
He sold the gas in the strategic reserve to China at a loss. And now the gas prices are out of control. They're going to have to refill it. That's off the backs of the American taxpayer. Joe Biden doesn't understand shit from Shinola. And if Joe Biden is even remotely aware of what the American people are facing, what we're actually dealing with on a daily basis, he doesn't care. He does not give one red cent. Joe Biden is not at all affected by the terror that Americans are facing on a daily basis, the difficult choices that we have to make. Are we going to pay our power or are we going to buy healthy food? Are we going to get the car fixed this month? Are we going to keep driving it around and pray that our brakes don't give out?
Invasion on Ukraine skyrocketed prices of gas. And because the president took action, we see we are in a different place than we were a year ago on gas prices. Eggs, milk, seafood products, all the important groceries, those costs have gone down.
They haven't gone down. They haven't gone down at all. They've gone up. Karine Jean-Pierre is hopelessly out of touch with the American people. She has no idea what we're dealing with. Joe Biden has no idea what we're dealing with. And if he understood, if he cared, then they would come up with solutions for those problems, rather than perpetuating the same tired old issues and keeping Americans focused on things that don't truly matter. No, instead, they are allowing Americans to languish in financial insecurity so that it gets worse and worse and worse. And he continues to siphon off money from the most vulnerable of Americans, leaving people to languish homeless in the streets. allowing illegals to pour across the southern border and suck up those resources like lamfries in the belly of a shark. Now, Joe Biden doesn't know anything, and he's not doing anything to help. He is the worst resident in American history.
Of what this president has been able to do. And with that, thank you so much, Mark. Have an amazing, amazing day.
Wow. Wow.
She hung up.
Wow. I mean, Mark, this, you, listen, I am nominating you to get a press corps badge, and you need to go to the White House. I'm sorry, but you asked three, four incredibly salient, important questions that are all front of mind, nothing out of bounds, no baba booing or anything like that, right? And you did it exactly right on. And I don't understand. I don't understand the fragility of this person.
The fragility. Well, the fragility is what these people exist in. They are perpetual victims. They themselves are suffering on a daily basis. Karine Jean-Pierre is a lesbian woman of color. Karine Jean-Pierre has a French name. I don't even know if she speaks French. But Karine Jean-Pierre knows what suffering is. Joe Biden, growing up in Scranton, Pennsylvania, he knows what suffering is. He doesn't know what suffering is. Joe Biden has never wanted for anything. Joe Biden is one of the most corrupt politicians in the history of America, one of the worst heads of state to ever hold office. C. Meadows says, when is the last time these people were actually in a grocery store? Sure as hell hasn't been recently. No, they don't buy their own groceries. You're right. They don't buy their own groceries. Joe Biden had to go to the grocery store. Can you imagine if you saw Joe Biden at a grocery store, how many people would come up and be like, look at how much this shit costs. It's your fault. Bidenomics. Bidenomics. Well, kind of underscoring the idea that Joe Biden has dementia, or at the very least, is impaired in some form or another. Number one Indiana dad says, so that's what the F stands for. Focused Joe Biden, FJB. Also, oh no, Joe Lieberman died. What are we going to do now? MAGA, baby, MOHAP. Wow, I didn't even know Joe Lieberman was still alive, to be honest with you. He has been like one of those like fossilized specimens of a human being for a very long time. Even when he ran for president. You guys remember that when he ran for president? I remember at the time I was like, what makes this guy think that he could lead the United States of America? He just did not seem like presidential material to me. Thank you, number one Indiana dad. Yeah, F for fail, more like it, not F for focused. So Joe Biden just signed a bill into law banning the flying of pride flags at American embassies. However, almost as soon as he signed it and somebody told him, sir, do you know what you just signed? He is now vowing to fight this ban on pride flags, even though it's a law that he put his rubber stamp on. So Axios said that this ban was included in that $1.2 trillion spending bill that they just passed without anybody being able to read. Obviously, Joe Biden and his cohorts, his advisors, his Obamaites, they didn't have a chance to read it either. It would have been really funny if they would have refused to sign this $1.2 trillion spending bill, which is just laden with pork, because it had this provision for the banning of pride flags flying over U.S. embassies. So they were completely unaware of it until after he signed it. And then as soon as he did, he issued a statement saying that Biden believes it was inappropriate to abuse the process that was essential to keep the government open by including this policy targeting LGBTQI plus AA2 spirit Americans. What's really funny about that is that this process and the way that was snuck in under Joe Biden's nose is the exact same way that we got into the shitstorm that we're in right now. Because this is what Congress does. This is what the lobbyists do. This is what the bureaucrats do to hide this sort of thing, laden among all these layers of pork and fat and money that's going to be going to their buddies and their hometowns and all of that. They hide it in there amongst all of these other things. They might, you know, take away some of our rights. They might make it more difficult for us to purchase a gun because they layer it in. and people don't see it. And then it gets signed, and then you're like, what the hell? Now we can't fly pride flags over embassies? What are you guys thinking? Kid Billy says, oneness drops and Jim Humble's protocol 1,000% cured my skin cancer. Oh, that's amazing. Kid Billy, if you wouldn't mind, would you go to the Oneness Drops website and send them an email and let them know? Or send me an email and I'll pass it on to him, dude. But that is so cool. You guys, I also need to ask everybody to pray for my uncle. I told you about him before. He's been fighting bladder cancer for the last couple of years. And now he just had a new appointment with the oncologist because, you know, he has to keep going back and they keep checking for the bladder cancer to return and they keep treating it and he keeps going back and it'll be gone and then he comes back and it's back. And now it looks like he might be dealing with a much more serious form of cancer. And I've been trying to convince him to try chlorine dioxide, to try ivermectin, to try fenbendazole for, going on 2 years now. And I keep telling him and my aunt, I'm like, you guys, you have nothing to lose. Please look at the information that I'm sending you. You know, and my dad died of the same cancer that Joe Tippins had. And I think back to 2009 and, you know, where I was in my life. And I was so consumed with raising my daughter and making sure that I was keeping my household together. I was working full time. I was working like 50, 60 hours a week. And I just did not have the time to devote to research and to looking into these things like I did. And then my dad got sick. And then I had to spend all of my free time, you know, taking care of him, shuttling him back and forth to appointments. And I didn't know about fenbendazole. You know, at that point, Joe Tippins hadn't even found fenbendazole yet. But fenbendazole had been out, and the information was likely out there. And if I could have gotten that for my dad, and I could have saved his life, you know, he could still be alive today. And so when I tell somebody about these things, and I get it, you know, people are focused on modern medical care. They just don't want to believe that there's something out there that the big pharmaceutical industries are going to be hiding from them, but they are. They are. I can't tell you how many people have emailed me and, you know, reached out to me in the couple of years that I've been doing this, and I've told them how to get fenbendazole or where to go and how to do this. And I sincerely hope that every single one of those people is going to survive and that they're not going to have to deal with the loss of a very close family member. And I wish my dad was still here today. I wish that I could still call him up and talk to him. And I wish that I would have known about this, that I could have gotten him the information. So please, if you have a success story, I want you to send it to me because I want to know about it. And if you know somebody who is dealing with this, if they're fighting for their life and they think that modern medicine is going to do it for them, please, by all means, with every bone in your body, please tell them about this stuff. Make them aware. Let them know. They have nothing to lose. Even if the doctors tell them not to take it, it's not going to hurt you. Okay, not medical advice. All right, but these medicines are well tolerated and their side effects are well known and there are virtually none. If you're fighting cancer right now, if you're dealing with a major illness like that, then you have literally nothing to lose. Costs $80 for a 3-month supply of fenbendazole. It's cheap. It's less than $5 a day. So please, please do not wait. You've got nothing to lose. The doctors are going to keep bringing you in. They're going to keep taking your money and they're going to keep keeping you sick. Please, by all means necessary. So getting back to this sneaky little sneak that they were able to get into this this deal. So Biden fought against the inclusion of this policy before he signed it into law. And now they're going to work to undo the law that they just signed into law. They were successful in defeating 50 other policy riders that allegedly went after LGBTQI community stuff that congressional Republicans were trying to sneak in. Now, I don't know what any of those were other than this. But, you know, knowing congressional Republicans, it was probably fairly benign stuff like, hey, you know, biological men can't compete in women's sports. Something intelligent like that. But of course, with a 1,000-page spending bill, then, you know, nobody's going to know what's in there. We have no idea how much funds are appropriated for this policy or that policy, and the American people have no idea either. So, as of right now, those flags are not going to be flying anywhere near any embassies all over the world. So, here's a bit of good news. I'm actually in favor of this, and I'd like to know what you guys think, because I've seen the damage that social media can do to children. But down here in Florida, DeSantis has just signed legislation on Monday, I believe, which aims to address some of the concerns that people like me and maybe even you have about the addictive nature of social media and the negative effects that it can have on their psyche and their growth when they're minors. So this is a bill that is aimed to protect young people from the dangers of social media. It's called House Bill 3, and it outlines online protections for minors on social media platforms, and it's going to require some to prohibit certain minors from creating new accounts. Now, just because a kid can't go create their own account, it doesn't mean that a parent is not going to allow them to do it. But I think that this is the best thing that could happen. I don't think children should be using social media. And it requires social media platforms to terminate certain accounts and provide additional options for the termination of those accounts. It's also going to provide conditions under which social media platforms are required to prohibit certain minors from entering into contracts to become account holders. So minors that are 14 and 15 will not be able to create accounts on the apps without the consent of a parent. And the bill is also going to require adequate age verification measures for internet sites that contain any obscene or harmful content unsuitable for minors. From what I understand, I think it's North Carolina. They just put a restriction on websites to verify the age of minors if it was an offensive site, like Pornhub specifically. They wanted to verify people's ages. And Pornhub just shut the whole thing down in the state of North Carolina, because they said that it was too difficult or something like that. But you know that, I mean, these websites are serving up to like 12 and 14-year-old boys. And even in, you know, I mean, kids who were much younger, to be quite honest. I mean, when the Pornhub leaks came out, it was like the Project Veritas-style investigation into Pornhub. I mean, they were very clear that they wanted to get young boys addicted to porn and then move them through like all of the various stages to go from like straight sex to maybe like, you know, like gender reversal things and like incest and, you know, transgender stuff, just, you know, and then all the way up to like the worst possible things you can imagine. So DeSantis said that there is a real danger on social media for children. Obviously we've got online predators. Kids can be easily preyed upon online. These kids oftentimes are, you know, convinced to send naked pictures of themselves to adults. Then the adults use that as blackmail to get more stuff, and then those naked pictures are sold on the dark web, and you've got pedophiles that are using these pictures to pleasure themselves on a daily basis. There is no such thing as a victimless crime when it comes to children, pedophilia, and child pornography. And, you know, I'm libertarian all day. All right. I believe in personal liberty. I believe that people should have the right to make their own decisions. And that includes making bad decisions. But when you make bad decisions, I think you deserve to pay for those decisions, especially if those decisions result in the loss of liberty to someone else. And when a child is victimized and children are suffering the effects of being forced to commit and engage in child pornography, that child is victimized psychologically. Okay, and then maybe they hurt themselves as a result of it. And every time some sick bastard online shares that picture or that video, that child is victimized over and over and over again, whether they know it or not. Okay, now their face and their body are out there. And what happens if one of those sick pedophiles recognizes one of those kids on the street? What if they recognize this child from a video that they've been watching over and over and over again for the last 4 years, and they realize that this is the same kid that I've been getting my rocks off to every single day? And they decide, well, you know, I'm going to go up and meet them in person. I'm going to kidnap that kid. I'm going to kidnap that kid and hold him hostage, and I'm just going to do whatever the hell I want to him. There is no such thing as a victimless crime when it comes to child pornography. So anybody who is advocating for the ownership or the use of child pornography, I am highly suspicious of. I do not understand how anybody can make an argument that this is something that's okay. It's simply not okay. And it's not okay for pedophiles to be able to create art that is based on child pornography. You know, it may be artwork, maybe a figment of their imagination, but they're reinforcing their own pathology when they take a picture like that and then use it. It's the same with artificial intelligence art. There's no good way to do this. And the only simple, easy, and foolproof way is to eliminate pedophiles from society, to eliminate the people who want to consume child pornography. We need to keep children safe at any cost. And if that means that kids don't go online and use a bunch of websites where pedophiles are waiting to snatch them up and victimize them, then hallelujah. I am all for it. And, you know, Ron DeSantis, thank you very much. I'm really, really happy that this is happening. So obviously, they want to steal your man. Yes, Lisa has a sense of humor that is very particular. Just know that if Lisa is chiding you in the chat, she's not being mean. She's just, there's context that's lost. If you could see her face and hear her voice, you'd know she's joking. She grew up, the youngest of three. She had two older brothers. So just imagine you're the older brother and you are basically unmercifully teasing and chiding your younger sister. It's like, I remember growing up. I know the kind of shit I put my sister through. And it could have something to do with the state of our relationship today. But it's also one of the reasons why I try to be as nice a person as I possibly can. So anyways, another big win for us down here in Florida, talking about this sort of social conditioning that pedophiles would love to engage in all across society and use social media to do all the time. It's the same exact sort of social conditioning that Disney and other entertainment companies have been involved in for a long time now. It's the reason that Hollywood is dying. It's the reason why the entertainment industrial complex is falling flat on the floor. Hollywood is in a full-scale depression right now because, well, first of all, they won't hire you if you're white and a male. And if you're a gay and a male, that's not enough. You need to be wearing a dress or putting lipstick on. That's the only way that you're going to be able to be hired in that industry. If you are a lesbian woman of color, then, you know, you're going to get hired all day long. And that's exactly what they did at Disney. Disney suffered in quality. Disney suffered in terms of their storytelling. Disney went all in on the messaging. And Disney also went all in against the state of Florida. The only thing is now that Disney has flown the white flag. I made a couple of pictures earlier today for the thumbnail for this, and I was thinking maybe I was going to talk about this first, like Mickey Mouse with a black eye waving a white flag. Couldn't get it right, though. So anyways, Disney is dropping their lawsuits against Florida and Governor Ron DeSantis. They're basically giving up their fight against his decision to pull the massive corporation's special status as its own government that was granted to the Magic Kingdom so many years ago. Disney has been engaging in fraudulent business practices, in illegal, underhanded dealings behind the scenes. They have, I can't even get into everything they've done, but, you know, just in one instance, you know, they were pretending to create green power using solar panels, and then they were buying that green power from a company that they actually owned. And then it turns out that that company didn't actually produce any power. Those solar farms weren't actually producing any energy. They were actually just getting energy from the grid down there where they're at in down here in Florida. And then they were telling their investors and they were telling people investing in Disney that they produced all of this green energy. And so Disney was a green company. Not only are they worried about diversity, equity, and inclusion, they're also worried about the environment. And so you can trust Disney. We're going to do what's right for you. And then we're also going to make sure that your kids get books about blowjobs in the seventh grade. Well, no more. Don't say gay. Don't say hey. Disney is now kissing Ron DeSantis' ass, picking oranges in the heart of Orange Country, and their authority to run the Reedy Creek Improvement District is now officially completely at an end. Disney is no longer going to be fighting to become its own government once again. This is all as a result of their attacks on the state of Florida because they were trying to protect children in schools to keep them. Okay. So yes, you guys can get Fenbendazole, right on Amazon. You can get it through the wellness company. Hang on just a second. I thought I had a list. Excuse me. I thought I had a link right here. So that you could get it quickly. Yes, here you go. All right. So here's a link to the wellness company where you can get Fenben today. There was another company that reached out to me about maybe sponsoring the channel, but it was medicine coming directly from India, and I don't know how legal it was, so I don't know that I wanted to let that happen. But follow that link that I just put out there. That's going to allow you to go get Fenbendazole or ivermectin or any of that stuff. And then you can also just find it on Amazon. It's I don't have that link right here, though, so let me see what else. And then also chlorine dioxide. I mean, you definitely want to add that to your regimen as well. Let me just real quick bring that up, and then I'll pass the link out for that. That'll make it easier. Ah, of course it doesn't work. So don't forget about my friends at OnenessDrops.com, where when you use code RP78, you can save 15% off your entire order. OnenessDrops.com. Also, you can save 30% if you use crypto. That's RP78 crypto 30 and save 30% off your order. But Oneness Drops are good for the purification of water. And again, they're antibacterial, antimicrobial, antiviral. You can take unclean, dirty water. You can make it safe to drink. If the water stops flowing from your tap or if it's not clean, you can make it clean using chlorine dioxide. Keep this in your car. Keep it in your medicine cabinet. Keep it in your go bag because there's nothing worse than not being able to make clean, safe drinking water. You have to be able to do that. Let's say you only have access to seawater. You can distill that water, so you'd have to boil it and then capture the steam, and that water that comes off of there would be safe, or relatively safe to drink. but using chlorine dioxide, you can get water from a pond, you can get rainwater, you can basically get it from anywhere. So definitely go to OnenessDrops.com, use code RP78, and save 15% off your order. And then also, just in case your bedroom is the place where you're going to be found most of all, you really ought to go to MyPillow.com and use code RP78 to save up to 80% off every single one of Mike Lindell's amazing products. Slippers, bathrobes, towels, beach towels, pillows, mattress toppers, literally, they've got everything. And then he's also got the My Store, which has a whole bunch of other products that are from USA owned companies, American made products. And then of course all the stuff at MyPillow.com is made by Americans as well here in America. Mike Lindell fighting for election integrity and also supporting small independent citizen journalists like myself. And then finally, My Patriot Supply. When you go to preparewithredpill78.com right now, you can save $200 off an emergency fly. An emergency supply of food. Obviously, food is something you need to have on hand because if the proverbial ish does hit the fan, then you want to make sure that you can feed yourself and your family. You gotta eat, you gotta have clean water, and you gotta keep yourself healthy. So right there, that's the trifecta. Prepare with redpill78.com. Save $200 off a 3-month supply of food. MyPillow.com. Use code RP78 and save up to 80% off. And then OnenessDrops.com. Use code RP78 to save 15% off. And hopefully everybody got that. The links for all of these things that I talk about are in the description below this video. So it's been a while, so you might not remember, but Disney was trying to push LGBT ideology on the children of not only Florida, but also all across America. If you take a look at Disney's films and cartoon properties that have come out over the last couple of years, they've been total garbage because it's been message over story every single time. The Disney officials were repeatedly blasted by the people of Florida, but the Disney officials that were getting blasted were also blasting the state of Florida. They had this whole thing about don't say gay law, but it was never part of the bill itself. This was made up by the same left-wing radical activists that worked at Disney and inserted all of these gay messages into children's cartoons, essentially. The name of that bill was actually parental rights and education. It was all about making sure that parents knew what their children were going to be reading while they were at school. You know, if my daughter was still 8 years old and she went to elementary school and came back with a stack of books teaching her how to perform oral sex, then I would have been livid. I would have been absolutely livid. Could not have even, you know, my daughter loved The Little Mermaid. She loved Aladdin. She loved The Lion King. And, you know, none of those stories had anything like the type of messaging that we see nowadays. You know, it was about the story. Disney made great movies. Star Wars used to be an amazing property. I'm still salty about the direction Star Wars went. It's absolutely infuriating for somebody who loved something to now hate it, because it has become crap. It's objectively bad. And as a result, Disney has suffered, and Hollywood in general is suffering. So Disney, after a long, protracted legal battle and no money coming in because all they're doing is spending it, nobody is buying their products anymore, nobody is going to see their movies, people are canceling Disney Plus in spade. So they are now being forced to drop their legal actions opposing Ron DeSantis' moves. And this is a major win because there is a new board that is overseeing the land that Disney sits on. The settlement agreement that was reached earlier today includes Disney acknowledging 11th-hour deals that they made prior to leaving this Reedy Creek Investment District. And now all of those deals that they tried to make, ensuring that no matter who came in after them, that they would still maintain control over everything. Everything is null and void. So all the underhanded crap they tried to do, it's now been washed away, and Disney is controlled by the state of Florida. So the new state district, at the time that it was being created, Disney reached a number of special backroom deals with the old Reedy Creek board. That Reedy Creek board is the governing body of that land, and it just so happens that Disney controlled every single one of them. So they were doing these deals in the hopes of taking over this long list of governmental functions when the new board came in. In the report detailing this settlement, they said Walt Disney Company made these last-ditch efforts in an attempt to solidify property rights and grant the theme park additional powers as DeSantis appointed a new board to oversee the area and hold the corporation accountable for laws and taxes in Orlando. Up until this point, they've basically paid nothing in taxes, and now they're going to be on the hook for a lot of money. And at that time, the CEO of Disney was Bob Chapek, and he had publicly attacked Governor DeSantis's policies on education, and specifically the plans that he had to protect parental rights in education. No corporation should be its own government, Ron DeSantis famously said. Moving forward, we stand ready to work with Disney and the district to help promote economic growth, family-friendly tourism, and accountable government in Central Florida. And the report said the settlement now sees Disney acknowledging the invalid nature of those special deals they reached with the former board when they were trying to control the incoming Central Florida Tourism Oversight District Board. Now, we are going to have to leave in just a moment, but I want to make sure that we actually discuss Sean P. Diddy Combs. Now, we have talked on a number of occasions about the likelihood that Sean Combs is essentially the Jeffrey Epstein of the hip-hop world, and I said that on the thumbnail for a reason. Even the Miami Herald is now starting to ask that question in a headline from yesterday when they were talking about Homeland Security investigations, specializing in transnational criminal organizations, dealing in human trafficking, and being a national security threat. They wondered if Diddy is the next Epstein. Investigators said across the coast, the music mogul's Miami home was also raided Monday. Sky Fox flew over Combs' home Monday afternoon and showed federal agents conducting their investigations. Fox 11's ground crew at the scene said the home was registered to Bad Boy Films, which is a division of Bad Boy Entertainment, along with one of Combs' daughters. I also saw a really creepy video yesterday of Sean Combs with a young white girl. He said he adopted her and that he was her father now. And he was like asking her like under duress to tell the world what a good life she had. But it seemed like he was like coaching her. Like, you know, I mean, like P. Diddy, he's human trafficking. So, I mean, we don't know the ages of the people he's human trafficking. Is this girl safe? I mean, was she being forced to make those statements? It's worth noting that although no criminal charges have been filed yet, it's likely that all of this is stemming from that civil lawsuit that we have talked about on a number of occasions. Because if those allegations are true, then Sean Combs deserves to be compared to and treated like the same type of people as Jeffrey Epstein, R. Kelly. R. Kelly, Harvey Weinstein. These were all very powerful people, multimillionaires, top of their field in their games. And you know what they used it for? They used it as an opportunity to engage in sexual deviancy and to make money off of that deviancy. Now, Sean Combs has a couple of kids. One of them was recently arrested at the home when Homeland Security investigations came on in. Now, he wasn't held for any length of time, but his son, Justin and King Combs, were recently seen after they had been detained during that sex trafficking raid at the home in Los Angeles. They were seen returning to and then quickly leaving that house after it had been raided by federal agents. Lisa showed me a video yesterday that was allegedly of the inside of Sean Combs' home after it had been ransacked by federal agents. I couldn't verify the provenance of that video, so I didn't bring it to show you guys. But after the raid, Justin and King Combs arrived separately at the home to collect their belongings, and then they left, and then they made another brief appearance. Sean Combs is still MIA. He's still out in the jungles of some unknown, far-flung location, hiding from the world. It is also worth mentioning that although Sean Combs has not been charged in anything yet, we keep having new faces that are added to the lawsuit, which calls him a sick so-and-so. There was a story in that lawsuit about actor Cuba Gooding Jr., how he had tried to sexually assault the man who had brought that claim against Sean Combs. So now Cuba Gooding Jr. has also been added to this lawsuit. Jones is known as Little Rod, is accusing Gooding of sexually harassing and assaulting him in this newer version of the complaint. He says the actor started touching, groping, and fondling him during a party on a yacht that was rented by Combs in the U.S. Virgin Islands, right near Epstein Island. This was back in January of 2023. So although Cuba Gooding Jr. may not be working all that much, he's got a lot of time on his hands to grope young men in the middle of the ocean. According to Lil Rod, Mr. Jones, he was extremely uncomfortable, and he proceeded to lean away from Cuba Gooding Jr. He rejected his advances, and Mr. Gooding Jr. did not stop until Mr. Jones forcibly pushed him away. Now, as the owner of the property, Sean Combs had a duty to protect Mr. Jones from the harm he suffered at the hands of Cuba Gooding Jr. Mr. Combs breached his duty when he failed to stop Cuba Gooding Jr. from sexually assaulting Mr. Jones, probably because Sean Combs was also engaging in that exact same type of sexual abuse on men and women and, God knows, children likely as well. So Jones filed this lawsuit against Mr. Combs last month, accusing him of sexually assaulting him and forcing him to perform sex acts with prostitutes while he was living with him for an extended period of time. So now that all of these other names are being drawn in, if and when Sean Combs is arrested and charged, it's likely that other people in his orbit are also going to be arrested and charged. I'm hoping that maybe we're going to see a greater form of justice than what we saw with Jeffrey Epstein. Now, here's the thing. Sean Combs says it's all fake. It's all fake. It's a witch hunt. He's saying it's a witch hunt. This is the first time he's spoken out since federal agents raided his home. He said earlier today, Homeland Security Investigations New York executed law enforcement actions as part, this is the Homeland Security Investigations statement. As part of an ongoing investigation with assistance from HSI Los Angeles, Miami, and our local law enforcement partners, we will provide further information as it becomes available. Now, an attorney for Mr. Combs had this to say. Yesterday, there was a gross overuse of military-level force as search warrants were executed at Mr. Combs' residences. There is no excuse for the excessive show of force and hostility exhibited by authorities or the way his children and employees were treated. Mr. Combs was never detained, but spoke to and cooperated with authorities. Despite media speculation, neither Mr. Combs nor any of his family members have been arrested, nor has their ability to travel been restricted in any way. And I'm sure that is in response to the claims that Sean Combs is hiding in the jungles of Antigua. He has a black Gulfstream 5, and it touched down early Monday after the feds raided his home. And I had speculated at the time, did Sean Combs leave before or after his homes were raided? If he left before, was he tipped off by someone who got a leak from the federal government? Well, this Caribbean island is known as being a place where you can't be extradited from. But as I stated earlier, the United States government has a tremendous amount of power and authority. And even if an extradition treaty does not exist, if the government wants you, they're going to come and take you one way or the other. Now, we don't know where Sean Combs is even at. We have no idea as to his exact whereabouts. And the Prime Minister of Antigua said there's no credible information that he's here. To the contrary, he did not arrive on the flight yesterday to Antigua. So it's possible that Sean Combs sent his private jet to Antigua while he took a different jet, perhaps one that he doesn't own, so that it would be more difficult to track him wherever he was going. Now, I suggest that as a possibility because I think it's only a matter of time before Sean Combs is indicted and an arrest warrant is publicized, likely with Interpol, because he is now a known fugitive as soon as that happens. Now, here's the thing. We have word from the inside, guys. We have a whistleblower who says that Sean P. Diddy Combs' inner circle is cooperating with the feds and that, yes, the prosecutors are using the Epstein playbook on him. I sure hope that doesn't mean that Sean Combs is going to hang himself in his jail cell with all of the hallmarks of a murder and no investigation or anyone to actually pay for the deed. Embattled rapper and music mogul Sean P. Diddy Combs is now a permanent fixture in the news after his houses were raided by federal agents in what many see as the tip of the iceberg of a major operation against him, comparable to the one that took Jeffrey Epstein down. A month ago, former producer and videographer Little Rod Jones filed that lawsuit claiming he had been sexually assaulted on multiple occasions and that some of Sean Combs' associates also sexually assaulted him, that he was groping Little Rod's genitals and grooming him into having sex. Now, Derek Parker, a former detective in the NYPD's Rap Intelligence Unit, they're called the Hip Hop Cops. I didn't even know they existed, but that's hilarious. He says that Diddy has a very questionable past and that he was able to control people because of his power. Parker thinks that someone inside this circle that surrounds P. Diddy, may have been an informant for the federal authorities. Someone's giving them sensitive information. Someone's cooperating, and it's probably someone close to him, said the former detective, who was assigned to two of Diddy's more infamous cases back in New York in the 1990s. He knew the rapper well. This looks to me like the tip of an iceberg. Both the California and the Florida raids were led by Homeland Security Investigations Human Trafficking Task Force. Now, let me just say this. Homeland Security Investigations Human Trafficking Task Force doesn't just step into an investigation for no good reason. They're involved because there is credible information to suggest that the people they're investigating are actual threats to national security and are involved in major transnational criminal organizations that are engaging in this type of just the worst possible behavior that you could imagine. There is no chance in hell that Sean Combs is not indicted. And I would believe that right now there is a secret grand jury that is probably meeting, deciding his fate, and every bit of evidence that they just got from his multiple homes is going to be entered and given to that grand jury. And very shortly, we should see charges for Sean Combs, but I tend to think he's probably out there in the wind. So we're going to go ahead and end it right there because I have to get ready for Altered State, which is coming up in just an hour and a half. Let me say thank you very much to a couple of friends here over on Pilled. Appreciate the support, you guys. And thank you again to everybody on Rumble today. I really, really appreciate your generosity. Let's see. We have, let's see. I hope I didn't miss anybody. Honey, let me know if I missed anybody. I finished off with, Sean Joe. Thank you, Sean Joe. Thank you to Lynn's Over It. Thank you to Q&A Holes. Hey. I have my Trump statuette. I don't know if this is like the Pilled version of a like an Oscar or something like that. No PC, no BS, Q&A holes. Look at that. Thanks, guys. I really appreciate that. But I'll say that this is my Pilled.net Trumpy. This is my Trumpy award right here. President Trump, can you hear me?
So.
Oh, I love that thing. I love that thing. That's so cool. Okay. Thank you to Filter Dog One, who had asked about the Irish Club and Peekaboo. I appreciate you reminding me about that. Thank you to Sean Joe for the cookie. Thank you again to Lynn's Over It. Thank you again to the Q&A Holes. Thank you again to Sean Joe for the cookie and the can. Porpoiseful says, great work, Zach, as always. Appreciate you. I appreciate you guys. You make this all worthwhile. Thank you to Sean Joe and Raisin Kane and Tomcat and Good Dog for a pair of shades and Sean Joe and D. Dallad for some cookies. Sean Joe dropping another cookie. Sean Joe also handing out 1 month bronze tier subscriptions, and we got Lightspear picking one up. Awesome. Thank you again, Lightspear, and thank you again for the journal that you sent me. Thank you, Sean Joe, who just gifted another one. That one was picked up by Tomcat. Raisin Kane dropped a cookie, and Sean Joe dropped a cookie as well. You guys are the best. I'm going to go ahead and pass out these gold pills, and I hope that I will see you at 9 p.m. on Badlands Media for a scintillating episode of Altered State with myself and my good friend Brad Getz. If I don't see you then, I'll be back tomorrow at 5 p.m. right here for another episode of Red Pill News Live. So until that time, good luck and God bless.